All right, so today, as I've mentioned previously, we have a guest with us. His name is Noah, and he's in the Solomon Islands. The Solomon Islands, he's going to tell you where they are. They're a tropical paradise, so to speak. And he and I'm going to interview him. I asked him to put together some questions, and he put together, there's about 300 questions, so we won't be long today, okay? So come on up, Noah, if you would, please.
Check, check. Yeah. Thank you, and good morning, and thanks for having me.
All right. Hey, so as we begin, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay. Yeah. We're with Wycliffe Bible Translators, and I mention it because it's on this first slide. We call our ministry Becoming Islanders because we are becoming islanders. We, like in the Birao community there, we call them family, and we've become part of their family, and it's really cool. So I want to impress on you guys that I'm just a regular guy.
Yeah, that's debatable.
No, I mean, we grew up in Georgia, but we're Steelers fans.
Yeah.
And we had normal, everyday aspirations for our lives. You know, get married, have a couple kids, own a home someday, you know, work our way up in regular jobs like Chick-fil-A or, you know, a warehouse or whatever. Yeah, so that's where we're from. And, I mean, two simple small-town Southerners, you can call me a redneck if you want to. It doesn't bother me at all. We're just regular people.
Okay, cool.
So we met at Toccoa Falls College. I got to talk to one of your boys about that just a minute ago. Met there, got married right after college.
And, so did you meet, like, at Toccoa Falls in one of your classes?
Oh, yeah.
Or, like, as a senior?
Freshman year? Orientation.
Like, the first day you set foot on campus, there she was.
The first day I set foot on campus, she was falling over her feet trying to come meet me.
That's 100% true, she says.
Yeah. So we got married at the end of college. And that's a missions-focused school, okay? Mm-hmm. But we had no intention of being missionaries or pastors or anything like that. Like I said, we had just regular aspirations for our lives.
So
right?
What were you doing at a Bible college, missions-focused school?
Her parents forced her to go there because she got free tuition there.
Okay.
And I went there just because I love studying the Bible. I had no career aspirations with that. Mm-hmm. Just that's what I wanted to do. I was just getting a college degree because that's a good thing to do. You can get better jobs that way. Mm-hmm. They often don't care what your degree is in.
Okay.
But God had other plans.
He tends to do that.
He tends to do that. Halfway through seminary. So I went to seminary too. This is kind of comical. I went to seminary just because I love studying the Bible. And halfway through seminary, God put Bible translation in front of us in a pretty unique way. He called us to go on a vision trip to Africa. We didn't end up, we went to Africa, but we didn't end up serving there. We viewed orphanages, again, didn't serve in that way. We met Bible translators there. And then when we got back to the States, he kept putting Bible translation in front of us. And he impressed on us, I've made you for this. This is what I want you to do. Will you do it? And so it was a clear calling, which was really nice. That was an answer to prayer. Because we had been praying, Lord, what do you want us to do with our lives?
Think about that for a minute. God made him for that. I've known Noah since he was just a kid, and he's just brilliant. He was always brilliant, reading and doing things that normal human beings don't, right? I guess reading's pretty normal. But I quit playing chess with him when he was just real little. He'd say, hey, let's play chess. Well, he beat the tar out of me, like, in four moves, and so I'm done. That's it, right? God did make him for that. And think about how you know other IWs and how God made them for that. Mm-hmm. They do something different, and he has that in mind.
Absolutely.
So yeah. We're going to try to make this shorter, and I keep talking.
Yep. It's good. Yeah. So we joined Wycliffe in 2020, and we did some normal things like training and fundraising. We call that partnership development, and we actually like partnership development. We get to build relationships with people. We get to do awareness about what Bible translation is, you know, the needs around the world and all that. We love it. So we did that. We moved to the Solomons in October 2022, and we are coming off our first term in the Solomons, which we shared in Sunday school was difficult, but also good. And so we're on our first home assignment. We're going back to the Solomons this fall, and that's where we're at now.
So Bible translation, what does that look like? What is it?
Yeah,
because I feel like Google can do that. Google Translate does that. Do you just read the Bible into Google Translate and then copy down whatever it spills?
No.
What is Bible translation?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, you bring up some different aspects there, and that's one of the questions we get a lot. Like, do you use Google Translate? Can't AI do that now? Okay, so we're working with a language that has never been studied before. When we came, they were not reading and writing their language. They've just started that since we came. We developed the first alphabet that the Birao language has ever had.
Wow. Think about that. You're in the presence of someone that maybe in 100 years, someone's going to say, it was Noah and Vicki Smith that invented the alphabet for that language. That is no small thing, right? Who could do that?
Yeah.
Somebody God puts there.
And they love it. I mean, they asked us to come and do that to help them translate the Bible into their language. And so that's one of the first things we're doing is we're studying their language and developing their language. But Bible translation, the heart of Bible translation is about helping people understand God's word, right? God gave us a message in the Bible that he wants us to understand. Now, if they don't speak English, but English is the only Bible they have, they're not understanding that message, right? And so that's the heart of Bible translation. It's about the people. It's about meeting them where they're at. That means putting God's message into their own language and culture, because we value their language and culture, just like we value them. Their language is basic to their identity. In fact, we talk about the nations, like in Matthew 24:14, the gospel of Jesus Christ will be preached to all peoples as a witness to all nations. Well, we're not talking about, he's not actually talking about countries. The countries that we have nowadays weren't in existence back then. Right. He's actually talking about people groups, ethnic people groups. That's what the Greek word there is, ton ethnon. And if I can point out one thing to you on this slide, this is kind of a picture of the Bible translation scene at the moment, if you will. But if I can point out one thing to you, it's that 7,300 number. That's the number of different languages in the world. And I'm not talking about dialects like Southern versus Midwestern English, you know, that kind of thing. I'm talking about different languages that can't understand each other, okay. Right? So that's what we're up against. That's what the task is, to put God's message, the gospel, into all of those languages. Yeah. And when we're doing this, we're working with the church. We're building up the church because the Bible is foundational to the church. I mean, imagine trying to have a fully functional church without a Bible. That would be almost impossible, I would think. Yeah. So that's very much what we're doing. And I could talk all day about these verses, but we're gonna move on. And the way in which we're doing that, we are living and working with the Birao people.
So you don't have like the church on the hill and yay and behold, come unto me and I will give you this translation, right?
Right. Yeah, we're living everyday life with the people, and there's nothing glorified about it. I mean, we're bathing in the river with them. We're washing our laundry in the river with them. We're trying to grow a garden in the same way they are. You know, out there getting our hands dirty. You said rubbing elbows with them. Sitting in their little tumble-down church, singing songs with them that, I mean, I don't know. It's not the style of worship that ministers to me, but that's okay. Mm-hmm. Like, we're trying to be part of their community and do life with them, and that in itself is beautiful, and they love that.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So part of our strategy in this particular Bible translation project is building capacity in the people. So that's fancy talk for saying we're training the people, some of the Beer Out people, to do Bible translation. And this is important for a few reasons. Firstly, I'm not that king on a hill who comes and says, you know, lo and behold, here's your translation, take it and use it. That's not good ministry, right? That's not going to speak God's message to them in the way that them translating it into their own language will, okay? And secondly, we don't know how long we're going to be privileged to be with them. Maybe we'll get to live with them for 20 years and see the whole project through to completion, where they have a whole Bible in their language that's been perfectly checked and revised the whole way through, you know? But maybe we won't. And so we're building that capacity in them to be able to complete this Bible translation project, even if we only get to be with them for another 2 years or 5 years or whatever. Yeah. There we go. Yeah, and so, I mean, this is a long-term commitment, and at this point, we've finished writing the alphabet for their language.
Do you have a song that goes with that? You have a song like A, B, C, D?
Yeah, I do. A, B, C, D, E, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, N, G, O, P, R, S, T, U, V, T, T, O, L, I, N, G, A, B, C. We sing the ABCs.
That's awesome.
Anyway.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
That was so cool.
So we have developed an alphabet for them, and they're happy with it, and we're using it, and we are developing a written style of Beer Out, which is actually an important step. The way we speak English, you guys will understand this, the way we speak English is not always the way we write English. And if you read something word for, like a transcript, word for word, the way it was spoken, and we're just talking like a normal conversation, it does not read well.
Yeah.
So we're developing that at the moment, and we'll talk about what we get to start when we go back.
So talk to me a little bit about that language, Beer Owl, right?
Beer Owl, like I had a beer and I stubbed my toe, ow. Beer Owl.
Okay, all right. Yeah. All right, I'll remember that.
Yeah, so who are the Beer Out? About 15,000 people is the size of their people group on Guadalcanal Island. They're known throughout the country as the Bush people, meaning they're more primitive and don't really care about modern conveniences as much. Or sometimes the hidden people, because they like to keep to themselves. They really value their language and culture more so than other people groups do. And so as we get to come in and we get to show them, hey, we value your language and culture. We're not here to change that. We're here to give you the word of God. And if that changes your culture, great. You know, but you guys do that. Yeah, they love that. So,
and it's respectful to them. And I think we talked about this a couple times before. It sustains their culture to put it in writing.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, because languages sometimes disappear, but it would be more permanent, both the language and the culture that it comes from.
And they understand that theoretically. They're starting to understand that experientially as we're writing down things in Beer Out. They're like, wow, this is really cool. Yeah. So let me talk a little bit about their traditional religion and how this plays into Bible translation, and how it kind of defines them as a people group. The Beer Out people are a tribal people. They have a matrilineal lineage system. They elect chiefs. They have certain spirits that their tribe worships. Water spirits, wind spirits, fire spirits, garden spirits that help your garden grow, etc. and so on. There's a pretty long list. And... And they even have what they would call, each tribe has a god, like a kind of a mascot that tribe lifts up higher than the other spirits. And the way they would worship these spirits is incantations. Mm-hmm. So think like certain words that you say at certain times or in a certain way, and it doesn't matter if you know what they mean.
It doesn't matter if I know what they mean. It
doesn't matter if you know what they mean.
I just have to say the right words.
You just have to say the right
words.
The
right
words.
Syllables, the right sounds. Okay.
And that makes the spirit happy. It's a way of appeasing the spirit. Another way would be sacrifices. Think chickens, things from your garden like potatoes. Think like a bigger sacrifice would be a pig. They sacrifice a lot of pigs, actually. They'll even take like the blood from the pig and sacrifice it in a special way. And they, you know, there's a bunch of rituals that go into it, right? Mm-hmm. And again, the point is to do the thing as it's prescribed to do, not to have any kind of relationship with the spirit. So that's not the point. Mm. The point is just to do what you're told to do. And yeah, we kind of mentioned it in Sunday school. I mean, it's not idyllic. It's not a good thing.
It's
a fear. It's a system of fear is what it is. Mm-hmm. You're afraid that the spirits are going to be angry with you and curse you mm-hmm. instead of blessing you. Mm-hmm. And they worship ancestors too. They pray to their ancestors traditionally. And so all of this influences the way they view church. Now,
wow.
I appreciate liturgical church. Mm-hmm. We do liturgical things even in my Southern Baptist church. We'll say the Lord's Prayer together, mm-hmm. or we'll sing songs that everybody knows, right? Mm-hmm. So you know it so well you have the words memorized, right?
This is my body that is taken for you, or given
yeah,
for you.
Absolutely.
That's a
communion.
Liturgical event, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But liturgical Christianity came in, and the way it was taught to them, it was you memorize the prayers, and you say the prayers, and God's happy with you. And there's no sacrifice system, and they were like, okay, good. We don't like sacrificing things. We want to, you know, eat our chickens mm-hmm, and, right. and eat our own potatoes and stuff. And oh, by the way, there are all these saints. The church has all these saints, and we pray to the saints.
Okay.
And to them, they were like, oh, yeah, we're doing that. We have all these great ancestors who are good people that we pray to. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we can, yeah, this is great. We can do all this stuff, and we can make the English God happy, and he will bless us.
Yeah. So if you have a religious bag, they just threw Christianity into that.
Absolutely. I mean, why not?
Yeah.
So they're doing church in English.
Mm-hmm.
These denominations on the screen are the four denominations in the Birao area. They're all doing church in English for the most part, even though they don't understand English. Because again, the whole framework for it is you go and you do the things that particular God or spirit wants you to do, mm-hmm. and then he blesses you. Mm-hmm. Or at least he's not angry with you. Mm-hmm. And so we're really working on changing that to intentional worship. Teaching them, okay, God, Yahweh, the one true God, he's not just interested in you saying a certain prayer. It's not about a magical prayer, right? It's about a relationship with him. And he cares about all of your life. Like the garden spirit only cares what you do in the garden, okay? And the wind spirit only cares about how you interact with the wind or making you afraid of the wind so that you will worship the wind spirit. Okay, but our God, the one true God, he is interested in all of our lives. Mm-hmm. And he wants us to communicate with him on a personal basis. And mm-hmm. that to them, that's like a major revelation. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can you go back one slide for a
yeah.
moment?
Absolutely.
We'll be out of here by 1 o'clock, don't worry. So I'm looking at the four denominations that are active there, and I see Catholic, Anglican, mm-hmm. I see Baptist, mm-hmm. I see Seventh-day Adventist.
Mm-hmm.
Are you number five? Are you in competition with them?
No. So we get, actually, this is from Wycliffe top down. We work with all denominations. Mm-hmm. Here in the States, we're not pulling missionaries from just one denomination. It's a whole, mm-hmm. the whole gamut. And and over there, it's the same way. We're working with all the denominations, and that's actually a beautiful thing. It's a great opportunity mm-hmm. because we've developed relationships with the Catholic priests mm-hmm. and even the archbishop over the whole country, and they're excited about what we're doing.
Wow.
And they're like, yeah, we want all of our Catholic people to be reading the Bible. Can you please hurry up this Bible translation thing? We want them to be reading the Bible and understanding it because they've seen how teaching the people to pray to the to the saints mm-hmm. has gotten mixed up with praying to the ancestors, and it's confusing. Mm-hmm. And they see how they read the Bible in English, and people are giving them a blank stare, mm-hmm. you know. And they want their people to really, yeah, be intentional in their worship.
That's cool. So, you know, how far along are you? You got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, we came back from our first term, and of course, you know, people ask me, so are you done? Did you translate the whole Bible? And I mean, you look at your Bible, it's a pretty big book, right? Mm-hmm. It takes a long time to even just read through it, right? Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of thought that goes into translation, a long process too, in terms of checking. I mean, we do check against the original Greek and Hebrew. So there's a lot that goes into it. This is a long-term commitment for us. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the beautiful thing is Bible translation before computers, before, you know, better training, it used to take 40, 50 years. Mm-hmm. We hope that in the next 10 years, the Birao people will have a complete New Testament, mm-hmm. maybe even like half of the Old Testament too. Wow. Like getting, you know, making really good progress. In 20 years, we could have a full Birao Bible, mm-hmm. and that would be great. That would be great progress.
So how is this harder than like translating a Harry Potter book? You know, what makes it hard?
Well, translating a Harry Potter book would be difficult too, but I'm not thinking of the next slide, but
am I jumping ahead?
I don't think so. So firstly, we're building capacity with the locals,
yes.
And that takes time too. And there is some.
So you had to teach them the alphabet.
Yeah, there is some give and take between like training the locals and making progress on the task, you know, training people versus accomplishing the task. But that's fine. We're ultimately, if we train them well and we have a good teamwork going, it's going to take less time. And there's a lot that goes into Bible translation in terms of like key terms and things that aren't in their culture that we have to put in their language, right? Like a lion. We talked about this.
Not in front of them, though.
No. Yeah. So Jesus is the Lion of Judah,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And
I know what that means.
The Birao people don't have a lion. The closest thing they have to a lion would be like a bush cat, like a bobcat.
Yeah.
And, you know, you talk about a lion being fearsome or the king of the beasts,
yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. And, I mean, the bobcat is not that.
Like Daniel in the bobcat den doesn't have the same feel, does it?
No.
No. No.
I mean,
and the bobcat of Judah, yeah.
Yeah.
And the bush cat lies down with the lamb. Do they have a lamb?
They don't have a lamb either. They don't have anything close to a sheep.
Behold the something of God that takes away the sin of the world.
Yeah, and that's like meaningless. Behold the something of God, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we have to work through with the Birao elders, mm-hmm. and then testing things like mm-hmm. how do we translate this and mm-hmm. how do we make it make sense to the people?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Wow.
And we want to be really careful with that because it is the Holy Word of God.
Yeah, you can't just go rewrite it, huh?
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's cool. Let me tell you about these Birao people. This is Nelson and Densi. They're our first two Bible translators that we're training to do Bible translation. Nelson has a passion for the New Testament. Densi has a passion for the Old Testament. They're beautiful people. They're very well educated for the average Birao person. And we're very lucky that God has brought them to our Bible translation team. There we go. So you see Mary. Mary is teaching little kids in Birao for the first time. Remember, English is the official language, so they do school in English, even though kids don't speak English. And this is really confusing and difficult, right? But she's, as part of our team, she's starting to teach them in their own language, and she's helping us develop a literacy program for all the Birao people to learn to read and write their own language. Patson, We love Patson. He has such a heart for the Lord and for evangelism. He was praying about 5 or 6 years ago, before we joined Wycliffe, or around that time. He was praying that God would send him someone to teach him the Bible so that he could teach it to his Bureau people. He has a passion for reaching the Bureau people like no one else in the world. Wow. Yeah.
That's so cool. So he was praying for you before you came?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's so cool.
And it's just one of the many ways that we've seen God answering prayers for our ministry and through our ministry.
Yeah.
So it's really nice.
So let me ask you, well, go ahead. Talk about the Bible source.
Well, this is the slide I was thinking of earlier. When we get back to the Solomons this fall, we'll get to translate Bible stories into Bireu.
What would a couple of those stories be?
Like David and Goliath, like mm-hmm. God calling Abraham.
Okay.
Stories from the New Testament, of course. You got the creation story in Genesis. Then, mm-hmm. Like Jesus turning water into wine or mm-hmm. feeding the 5,000 or okay. dying on the cross, obviously.
Cool.
Yeah. So,
cool.
Yeah. A collection of like 40 or 50 of the basic Bible. Think like your typical kid's Bible.
Yeah.
And that'll give us a lot of practice in the translation process. It will involve working with some key terms in the Bible, like priest or sacrifice or lamb or lion, things mm-hmm. like that that are difficult to translate into their language and culture and yet are very important to understanding the scriptures.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. So how can we help? You talked about, what'd you call it, a partnership or something?
Yeah, partnership.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, the first one is pray. And I talked about, like, miraculous answers to prayer, right? So I don't say this lightly. Like, prayer is a huge part of ministry, any kind of ministry. But I think maybe especially going to a whole other world and facing, special spiritual warfare and all the things.
Your wife's been really sick off and on while you've been there, right?
Yes.
She had life-threatening malaria.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Take 30 seconds and talk about that.
So, yeah, I mean, malaria is gives you terrible fevers. Basically starts shutting down your body. It attacks your red blood cells.
Okay.
And if it gets bad enough, you can die from it.
Mm-hmm.
Vicky Lynn has had malaria 6 times.
Wow.
And I wouldn't wish that on anybody. The 4th or 5th time she got some complications that meant we really needed to get her to a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And due to weather and travel situation, we actually weren't able to do that. It was like kind of a failed medical evacuation situation.
So, and it's not a situation where you call 911 and they come down the road with an ambulance.
Exactly, right?
Because yeah, the road is not...
I mean, think we're out in the jungle and the only way to get out in these conditions is we fly a helicopter in from Australia.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was a pretty serious situation. And we sent that evening about 8 or 9 o'clock in the evening, we sent prayer requests to our most immediate prayer partners. Mm-hmm. And they prayed. And in the middle of the night, Vicky Lynn got up and some of her symptoms were relieved. And
wow.
It was clearly an answer to prayer, mm-hmm. miraculous answer to prayer. And so, yeah, just know that when I say, please pray for our health in the Solomons, that's a very serious prayer request. And not just for our family, but even for the islanders we're working with. They die from malaria too.
Mm.
And so that's a very serious prayer request. You can pray for our working relationships, please.
Missionaries never disagree on anything, do they?
I wish. And
pastors don't either.
I feel like that's one of the areas that the devil targets.
I believe it.
You know, our relationships between believers,
mm-hmm.
our relationships between husband and wife,
yeah.
our relationships with our kids, with yeah. our coworkers.
Yeah.
So please pray for that.
Yeah.
Please pray for the team. The translation team not to be discouraged, but to flourish in their work.
Mm-hmm.
It can be tedious work going through the whole Bible and translating and beating your head against how do I put this into a completely different language and culture, but it can also be really rewarding. So pray that we see the rewards in that and that they are encouraged. Praises for the progress of our first term. We made a lot of progress, and I mean, that was all God ordained. Praise for funding for our truck and house when we go back. So I'll talk about that more in just a second. Other ways you can help. You can give financially to our Wycliffe ministry. Wycliffe sets a regular budget for us, and we are around 100% funded on that. Praise be to the Lord. And that makes it easier for us to do what he's called us to do, right? There's also more room. You can always give regularly to our Wycliffe ministry. Just like everyone else, our budget goes up every year, you know, inflation and whatnot. And I wanted to say, you can also give one-time gifts, like, hey, I had a little extra money, or for specific projects like the truck and house. And you can see advocating, gaining, I say gain perspective. So gain perspective on what is Bible translation. You can go to Wycliffe's website and do this. They have pages and pages, very interactive, very very informative, but down to earth. I love it. I love their website. You can learn about Bible translation, learn about missions, learn about what the Lord is doing throughout the world, and you can advocate for missions. That's a lot of what we do in partnership development. And so the more help with that, the better. What is this truck and house thing? We came back from our first term, and we realized that we needed to have our own transport for safety purposes, to be able to get around to the Beer Out area, to be able to get back and forth to town on a regular basis and more cheaply. That means buying, in our context, that means buying a Toyota Land Cruiser with a snorkel so it can go through 3 feet deep rivers.
Wait a minute. You're going to take a Toyota Land Cruiser.
Multiple 3 feet deep rivers.
And drive it through rivers.
And up logging roads that are steep.
And I have about 40 guys I'd like to bring over to do that.
It's literally the only truck that can make it to our village.
What about my Hyundai Santa Fe? Could it make its four-wheel?
Not even close. Yeah,
not even close. Yeah.
Yeah. It's extreme off-roading. It really is.
Yeah.
And to build a house in our village. So when we moved to our village, we rented the biggest, nicest house, which worked for us, but it's totally countercultural. They do not rent or buy or sell houses in their village. Everyone builds their own house.
So
it's the family home.
Just serves to accentuate the difference between you and them. And
Yeah.
So
they want us to build a house, and that will actually make us feel more a part of them. Yeah, more like them. So that's all I've got for you today. I guess my wife wanted me to point out that we are fully funded on the truck. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
And we are most of the way funded on the house. There's still an opportunity for you to give to that and finish that off so that when we go back, we can build a house in the village.
Did you say there's like 7,000 left?
Yes, about 7,000 left to fundraise for the house.
Okay, cool. And you have cards back there. That has information that we just left behind on the screen there, right?
Yeah. That's right.
Cool. So I want to do this. I want to ask the worship team to come up, and I'm going to ask the elders to come and Vicky to come, and we just want to pray for you guys. Can we do that? So worship team, come on up. Elders, come on up. And if you just move, stand right there. That's perfect. Okay. Stand right there. We'll stand behind you. Okay. All right. And just as a church family, we're going to unite our hearts in prayer for them, that God would bless them, bless their ministry, that he would keep Vicky Lynn healthy, that he would encourage their spirit. Just whatever comes to mind, you pray in the quietness of your heart as Eric leads us in prayer.
Lord, we're thankful to be able to hear with our own ears the experiences that you have laid on their hearts, the challenges that they've seen, the progress that they've made. Lord, as they spoke this morning, I think it was during the Sunday school hour, they said that there's not words to express love and peace. Lord, what an amazing thing you have done. Thank you for these people who have answered the call to bring your world into a place that truly doesn't know it. Lord, we ask that you would be with them as they return, that they would be encouraged, that they would realize that their impact is not isolated to the Solomon Islands. Their impact is here this morning as well. Lord, their impact will be felt for years to come. Lord, thank you for people in this world. Thank you specifically for this family, answering the call that you've laid on their heart. Lord, we do pray for safety, that you would keep them healthy, that you would protect them from the storms, not only physically, but spiritually. Protect them from the darkness as they're there. Give them words of wisdom, hearts of encouragement, and a way to continue to minister to those people around them. Lord, we simply ask that you give them what they need. You've called them to do this. We know that you will walk with them. May they lean on you, Lord, as they go through this challenge that you've given them. Lord, I'm reminded of the way you work, the way you work in our lives, the way you work in our community. Lord, we praise you, Lord. We give you glory. We thank you for the refreshing knowledge of a place in the world that when I walked into here this morning, I did not know of. Lord, thank you for the encouragement on my heart. We ask that you would continue to bless them, protect them, and give them everything that they would need. We give you the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.